We are on the Sefer Aleph Shor. We're in Shah Sheni. We're still discussing the purpose of Musar. And the point that we mentioned last time was that when you look through Mesillat Yesharim, you see that the main method that Mesillat Yesharim uses for a person building their spiritual world is contemplation. And he went through every single section of Mesillat Yesharim, showing how the tool that he's using is contemplating something. What is contemplating changes from level to level. But that's our goal. Our goal is to be mitbonen on every level. And as a person wishes to build his Avodas Hashem, he just has to know what to be mitbonen on. We called them yesterday the meta rules, like the understanding behind that, what you need to understand. And as you learn those concepts intellectually, and then you do mitbonen, you contemplate them and look, notice very deeply in the world those concepts, that's what transforms a person. How do you do mitbonen? There's two stages for noticing very deeply. First, you learn a certain statement of Chazal, and when you learn it, you're medayikin. Lavin tzurat hashmata, mobilim with Gemara. You have to learn it and make diyukim, just like when you learn Gemara. When you learn Iyun in Gemara and you're medayikin the words, why did you use this word and not that word, why did you repeat yourself, you really get into the words of Chazal. Every word is accurate. And you have to be very precise to understand what it's saying. That's where the gems come out. You start using, noticing that word was used here and that word was used there. That obviously is a connection between these two ideas. And you start noticing why did he use that same word, and you bring out gems of understanding. You must be careful at this stage, to be careful. Don't judge them as catchphrases, as like ideas which aren't literal, and they're just kind of saying a very broad, general, universal idea, they're just being poetical. Be careful not to think that. Be careful not to take it lightly. It's not just being poetical without any depth of meaning. If the Chazal used that word, they meant that word specifically. Hanacha rishona belimud musar she'ein melitzot b'torah. There's no poetry in Torah. There's no jokes. There's no taking things lightly. They didn't want to rhyme, and therefore they made it kind of work out. They used a particular word that was accurately, precisely chosen to portray a particular idea, just like it is true in Halacha. It's also true in Agadata. And therefore, in the world of Musar, Avodas Hashem, you're also looking at the Medayik in the world. Lidugma, for example, at the beginning of the second chapter of Maseiz Yesharim, he writes that the idea of Zihirus is that a person is mitbonen or mefakeach al ma'asav udrachav hatovim hem im lo libilti azov nafsho l'sakrat avdor chas v'shalom v'lo yelech v'mahalach hergelo ki iber v'afela. So you read that phrase in Mr. Shalom. He picked a phrase which has a lot of content there. Now let's see if we can be dyke in it. First of all, you notice that he uses two different things at the beginning. There's hitbonenut and pikuach. And they both mean to look into. But there's two different types of looking into. Meaning the Mesillat Yesharim is giving you guidance that when you look into something, there's two levels of looking into it that you need to do. There's one level of hitbonenut and one level of pikuach. And when you're learning Mesillat Yesharim, you have to pause at that point. What's he saying? He's giving me guidance on how to understand my inner world. So what is the guidance? Let me make sure I understand it. And you have to say, what's the difference between those two? What's the difference between hitbonenut and pikuach? And then you continue. And you see that he also says, and you have to know your ma'asavu d'rachav. But that's two other different things. In English you would say your actions and your ways. What's an action and what's a way? What's a way referring to? But you have to medayik in every word. When you're coming after to do your cheshbon nefesh, and you know that you have to look into in two different ways, two different things. You're going to be doing four things. You're going to be mitbonen al ma'asav and mitbonen al derachav, and you're going to be mefakeach al ma'asav and mefakeach al derachav. You're going to have to fill out four boxes in your cheshbon nefesh. If you're medayik in the Mesillat Yesharim, you'll know exactly how to do a cheshbon nefesh because you know exactly what you need to be doing. That's only if you're medayik in the words. If you just say, oh yeah, he's repeating himself for more of an effect. You know, he had a word count he had to fulfill, so he just had two different nice ways of saying it. No, there was no extra words in words of Musa. I'll hesitate to say that might not be true for works to translate it sometimes. Because sometimes if you take a work which is a translation, then it's not as medayik. But even there, you can say that because when it's, as long as you know it's a very accurate translation. Like for example, if you use the this edition of the Rambam, this is Rav Yitzchak Shilat. His commentary of the Rambam was written in Arabic. The introduction of the Rambam to Mishnayos, which is what this is, right? All of the Rambam's Perek Mishnayos are written in Arabic. Now, if you read the not good commentary, translation, sorry, the not good translation, then it's a very, very hard to medayek, because did the Rambam really say that? Did he mean that? Who said? If you take a translation like this one, which is unbelievably accurate and loyal to the words of the Rambam, with an understanding of the Rambam, then you can be medayek. You can say, like, he knew what the Rambam meant by that word, with a lot of research and understanding of Arabic, and he did, you can be. So, Sakanot Avdun. The Rambam says, sorry, the Mizrach Rambam says the phrase that if you don't do this cheshbon nefesh and calculate your ways, you're in danger of death, of being totally lost. Now, would you have thought that? Most people would think that if you don't do a cheshbon nefesh, then you're average, but stable. And if you do a cheshbon nefesh, you can have more of an understanding of yourself and get a little deeper. But you're not avdun. You're a lost case. There's no hope for you. But that's the words of the Messiah Zisharim. Sakanata avdon. It's not a melitza, it's not a hagzama. It's not just a word of poetry, and it's not an exaggeration. Yesh levarer. A person needs to clarify for himself. What did the Messiah Zisharim mean when he said, you're lost? If he meant you're lost, he meant you're totally lost. What? Why? Why when a person doesn't do a cheshbon nefesh, are they totally lost? V'lama halicha b'mahalach hergelo. And it says that when is it so dangerous? If you follow your habits. You follow just what your habituation is, what you're used to doing. What's so dangerous about that? Surely there are things that you do that you get used to doing. I gave an example last week about buttoning your shirt, where it's a very useful thing that you get into a habit of knowing how to do without thinking. So stage one of learning Musar is not just a quick read. You can also obviously already see here why when you read a Musar work in English, then a lot of this you lose. A lot of this you lose. So it's not as easy to be as accurate as Madayit in the English words, because they don't necessarily have the same meaning. Sometimes when you read the Hebrew, you pick up what the intent was. Some translations are very good, and you're able to, like, you really found an English word that exactly represents, but that's, you know, according to his way of reading it. Could be that when you would read it, you would see something a little deeper or a different angle, which would fit into the words of the Ramchal, but doesn't fit into this particular English translation. Doesn't mean it's wrong, it's right, but it's, you know, one-sided. Because you have to choose one English word of the two. Sometimes the Hebrew word conveys everything in two ways, and the translation chooses the one that he thinks makes sense. You may have chosen the other one, or recognized both. So you're a little limited by reading in English, but there's still hope. When I was in Shana Aleph for Bet, I asked the Rebbe in Keren Biavne, his name was Meir Orlian. I said, Rebbe, which sefer should I learn for Musa? So he said to me, are you fluent in Hebrew? I said, no. He said to me, I said, learn whatever. Get fluent in Hebrew, and then read Mrs. Sharon again and again and again. I said, I can read Mr. Sharma in English. He said, no, you have to read it in English. Because you'll miss the nuances that Mr. Sharma is saying. So for now, read whatever Muslim book you find in English. No, Mishaleh, just like pick up your Hebrew. Maybe even you should learn Hebrew. It's a in order to get to learning Muslim, you'll miss it. You'll miss the whole. You see all the diukim that are possible to make in the Ramah? Now, we didn't even answer them. We didn't even explain what's in Bornut and what's Bikuah. We didn't yet explain what's the difference between your actions and your ways, which is right, your middos, your hashkafas, your outlooks. But when a person translates those words and understands the differences, and they contemplate what's so terrible about following my habits, and you do, and as part of your cheshbon nefesh, you're writing this whole out. What did he mean by that? Did he mean this? Oh, that's very true. I read it's true in my life as well. And you start working out, so you've done the intellectual understanding of what the words of the Ramchal were saying. The Shlav Sheni. Mashve halomed et ma sheivin mitoch chazal or sefer im matzavo metiuto. And then you reflect back on yourself. And you say, okay, I know what he's saying now. He's saying that I have to do two things. I have to be mitbonen of what's really good in life, and I have to mitfakeach about where I'm holding in respect to that. And I know that he's saying I have to do that both in my actions, and I have to also do that in my ways. So let me take an example. I'll take davening for example. Mitbonen. What is good davening? What is it? How would I define good davening? So for that, I have to do some research, look in Svarim, maybe I'll think of people that I know and ask them, find someone who looks to me that he's davening with Kavana. I'll ask him, like, tell me, how do you daven with Kavana? That's being understanding what it's about. Understanding, taking in the information. And then I'm the fakir, and where am I in respect to that? Well, yeah, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work to do. And then how do I check out where I am in respect to myself? Ma'asav, first what's my action? Do I stand in davening and look around from time to time during my davening? Do I stand in davening and read? Is it better for me to read in a siddur or to close my eyes? Some people have never contemplated that. They do whatever they do. Whatever it happens to be. Sometimes they read inside, sometimes they close their eyes, but it hasn't come from a place of thought. It's hergel. It's whatever they got used to. And they find that if they stop and they try out one way and try the other way, they find one way works a lot better for them. Some people shuckle, some people stand straight. Which way works better? I don't know. You have to find out. You have to try it. But this is something you need to discover. That's all ma'asav. All that's a person being mitbonen and mefakeyach a ma'asav. When are you mefakeyach? When you try one way. Mefakeyach is someone who's like looking out and checking if it works. So you check it out. On what? On the ma'asav. So I'll do shokoling for a few days, see if that helps my kavana. I'll stand still for a few days, check if that helps my kavana. Let me try different methods. That's all within davening. But then you also have to do the same with ma'asav, your hashkofet, your outlook. Do I think that Hashem is listening to me? What do I feel towards davening? Is davening a value for me? Do I connect in davening more to requests? Do I connect in more davening to praising Hashem? Do I connect more in davening for thanking Hashem for things that happened in the past? Do I even believe in the concept? Let me think what I think about davening. I'm very honest now, it's my cheshbon nefesh. I can be very honest. I don't have to worry about his feelings. Right? Do I like davening? And you know, there's no kfirah here. It's not a problem. I hate davening. It's boring. It's a waste of time. I would rather be learning more. I'll do mishnayot. Like, write it. Be honest. What's your derachav? Your ways. Not your actions. Not how are you standing in davening. What's your philosophy towards them? So you have to meet bonen. What could it be? What should it be? What's an ideal? Go speak to people about not just how they daven, but right, what their view of davening is. And then also check in with yourself. What's actually my view of davening? What would happen if I wouldn't contemplate this? Where would my relationship with Hashem be? If I carry on hergel without contemplating how my davening is going, what will be? I've lost my relationship with Hashem. Sakanata avdun. I'm going to be lost. My neshama will be calling out for Hashem, and I'm not giving any answer to it. Hashem's saying, Tzvi, learn about davening. Check where you're holding in davening. And I'll say, no, I'm just carrying on with the practice that I've done since I was 14 years old, 13 years old. Avdun, it's a weight, it's a loss. I'm not growing, I'm not building. Like, it's a downward escalator, which I'm standing on. If you're not actively growing and building your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to head downhill. Or it's like a stone that you leave on the earth for a long period of time. If you presume that everything's the same underneath, that's not the truth. You leave a stone for a while, then you pick it up, you find worms and maggots crawling underneath. Because if you're not building something, you're not turning over the soil, you're not working with the soil, then eventually then inappropriate things come. So when you're madaik in the words of the Mesitzer Sharim, the first thing you do is you understand his method. Understand what he's saying. And then you take it back to yourself. You choose a topic. I just chose the topic of davening. That's one example. You could also choose a topic of anger. You could choose a topic of learning Torah. You could choose a topic of kibud av v'aim. You choose any topic that you wish to, that you particularly want to work on, and now you have a four-box method of being mitbonen and mefakeach on the actions and on your philosophy of it for any topic that you choose. If anyone ever comes and says, I don't know, I want to do a cheshbon nefesh, but I don't even know what to do, where do I start, how do I do it? So you read the opening of Mesillas Shlomo, and he's given you a very, very straightforward path of what to do. You always have four topics to discuss. Understanding the concept and reflecting back to yourself where you're holding on it, both on your actions and what your view of it is. Very easy. You can make a box, a chart, four points. And then you just take topics that are important in Avodas Hashem. You can go through mitzvahs, you can go through middos, you can go through your schedule. There's many, it's very easy. In fact, it's endless, actually. It's endless. Like someone says, I have nothing to write. You have nothing to write? Like, go through every single mitzvah and do these four boxes and see what you're holding. Go through your schedule in the day and do these four boxes and see where you're holding. Go through different middos, take a list of middos, go through the four and see where you're holding. You don't have enough time in the day. If you'd only do this all day, you wouldn't have enough time to do this. To do a cheshbon nefesh. It's endless. But you never had a structure until now. Why didn't you have a structure? Because you didn't know what it's saying. Or you read it, but you didn't realize what that was saying. You just kind of read it as a melitza. As okay, you wrote it very nicely. You just said to do a cheshbon nefesh. Generally, you said to do a cheshbon nefesh. I didn't know how to do it. Okay, I'll leave it. But no, but if you're Madaikin's words, you can see exactly what he's saying. That's the second stage. The second stage is where you contemplate and reflect back. And what you have to do is, you have to compare. What is the difference between where I recognize the ideal to be and where I'm holding now, and try and identify what's holding me back right now from doing it. In Hebrew it even runs. The ideal and where I want to be is in Hebrew is matsui and ratsui. Matsui is what I find myself to be, Matsui. And Ratsui is where I want to be. That's what part of your Cheshbon Nefesh is. You first identify where do I want to be. What is the ideal here? Obviously we're talking about a realistic idea. We're not talking about the Arizal idea. We're talking about your realistic idea. What's your realistic idea? And then you ask yourself, and where am I right now? And that's all part of the Cheshbon Nefesh. On any topic, you can go through Midas, you can go through a schedule, you can go through Mitzvahs, whatever it is, but this is, I would even dare to say that even not only in the context of Cheshbon Nefesh, but even in the Muslim say that we learn together. We learn Muslim say together, and that's stage one. That's clarifying ideas. But the stage two is where you go and reflect it, and it's a gift this time of year that we have Maariv straight after Musa Seder. Because that gives everyone here an opportunity that you can hear these words of the Alei Shor, recognize there's an important principle here, and then during davening, you can take time to pause and reflect, could be the end of Shemona Esrei. You could at the end of Musa Seder summarize one point that you want to contemplate where you're holding in respect to that idea. Like if you would do it today, you would say, where am I holding as far as doing a Cheshbon Nefesh? Where am I holding as far as reflecting where I'm holding? That would be what you would do. And then it would come to the end of davening, and you would, you know, get to where you say your psukim before you ulratzon, and for a few moments you would pause and reflect during your davening, and you would say to yourself, I heard today in Alei Shor that if you're not working on yourself, meaning you're not thinking where you're holding, meaning you're not clarifying what you need to do and where you're holding, then that's considered like suicide. It's considered like you're not growing, you're not building, you're going downhill if you don't do that. Where am I in respect to that? And you think to yourself, well, I do it when I'm totally out of control. Like when something happens that like I acted totally inappropriately, then I do sit down and I do contemplate and I do like think where it came from. So that in that area I'm good. But I don't do it on the day to day. I don't do it just on seeing how my learning's going and how my davening's going. I don't do it on the regular thing. And in that sense, I'm like, I'm being held back because I'm not building myself. I'm not growing, which means I'm going down. So it would be worthwhile for me to do that as well. And then you could decide that you're going to make a time in your schedule, maybe towards the end of night Seder, or everyone find it maybe 3:15 or 3:30. Everyone will find a time that works for them, where you're going to buy a little booklet and you're going to write out these ideas. You know, because you'll realize how important it is. And that's Musa. Where you take it from the ideas to reflecting it back to you. And it becomes real, it becomes relevant. בשלב זה של לימוד יכניס רבינו הגאון רבי ישראל סלנטה את חידושו העיקרי. רבי ישראל סלנטה, excuse me for saying a harsh word, but he was fed up of people learning Musa and not applying it. He saw throughout the years that people were reading Musa books like they were reading newspapers. They would say, okay, you have to learn it, read, finished. But it wasn't causing a transformation. And therefore he brought into the world of learning Musa the concept of deep reflection, of pausing and accounting, in order that the Musa will transform the person. Because like we learned yesterday in the Ramchal, it's like coals that are lying dormant. And if you just look at them and say, oh, there's some coals, look. You just like read them as a Sharon without contemplating. It remains coals. It doesn't fire you up. It doesn't create a new transformation. But if you start waving, and you start applying the Torah and reflecting, how do these words relate to me and how can I be transformed by them? You become a fuck. You become alive. You live a life of vitality and avodas Hashem. That's what the chiddush that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter brought. Hu doresh chazarat kufa al oto mamar kama pa'amim. He says that you should take a certain phrase of Chazal and repeat it numerous times. Ve'lo chazar ba'amim, not externally. Ela berigshat ha'nefesh, but rather attach your soul to it. Ve'sarat ha'ruach, and get enthusiastic about it. Uv'sfatayim dolkot, and your lips should be on fire. What is he saying in Rabbi Yisrael Salanter here? He's saying that when you review a certain phrase of Chazal with a nigun, out loud, with a nigun, repeating it again and again, it awakens your emotion and it brings you to vitality and ideal. I don't want to explain why I think it works. If you read a statement in Chazal and you say there's something there, that there's depth there, and you move on, then you're aware that there's something deep there, but you didn't use it. It's a little bit like Mashallah Adavadome. Someone came to you and said to you, I'd like to give you a gift. And they give you an envelope and you say, wow, there's something very precious in this envelope. Then you put it down and you move away. That's what happens with Chazal. You read a word of Chazal, you say, wow, that's deep, that's inspirational, that's meaningful. And you say, okay, next page. And you move on. So you didn't allow those words of Chazal to transform you. But in the best case scenario, you say, if I have any chizuk, I know where to go back to. And that's a good case. And it's a good case scenario if you actually go back to remember where it was. The halama. But the words of Chazal that you see that could be inspiring, you have to create them in yourself. So what actually happens? Like, you start saying it again and again. You make part of your Musa Seder, you take a time out where you want to imbue this idea. So you find that phrase from Chazal, from the Sefer Yesharim, wherever you find it, you could do it from Ma'ariv Shor as well. And you say it, and you say it again, you say it again. Now after you say it 3-4 times, then you start feeling sin. And the first few times you were just basically understanding what it's saying, but then now you understand it. So why are you still saying it? So then you feel like a bit of a parrot, you're just saying it again and again, and you like feel like, what am I doing now? Right? And it's important to get to that stage. Because if you don't get to that stage, then your mind is switched off. Meaning you're just numb. You're just like saying. How many times did they say? Okay, 101. Okay, then 101. Fine, can it transform me now? That's not going to make any difference. But you have to get to a stage where you're thinking about it. And if you're thinking about it, then there'll be a stage where you say, okay, I've understood what it's saying. Meaning you've understood on an intellectual level what it said. That's good. That's stage one. Then you keep saying. And for another 4, 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 times, you won't see any chidush in it. It'll just be saying what it's saying. You're like getting frustrated and getting annoyed. Like, how many times am I still saying it? I get what it's saying already. And then when you get to that point, then you start looking more deeply into yourself. And you say, well, I can't just keep saying it and not thinking about it. Right? Because then what am I doing? So you start saying, so what does it mean? Meaning not what does it translate to, but what does it mean? And that's where you get to the hashivosel of it. Where you start saying, like, what does it mean to me? Is this important to me? Is this a value to me? Not intellectually you think, is this a value to me? But rather, it just becomes more part of your inner world. It becomes your thought. Because you can't just keep saying it without imbuing it. Because you feel silly. So you take it to a deeper level. Meaning what happens is the first level is that you understand what it's saying. The second stage is where you feel desire to understand it on a deeper level, but you haven't got it yet and you feel frustrated. And then the third stage comes where, oh, now I get it. Now I'll tell you, I believe there's another stage afterwards, but I haven't experienced it, so I'll just say it, but I don't know, this is talking externally now. I believe that even when you've done that, you can do that again. You can take it another level deeper. I believe that even when you've got to that level of hafnama in Hebrew, of absorbing, I believe that even then, at a different time, at a different stage, you could then, let me try saying it again now, and then say it again and again and again until you feel, well, I've got that point, is there more? And then you could even take a new level of depth. I haven't done ever to the first stage. But I believe that it can be done, and maybe after having reminded myself of this idea and inspiring myself by saying it, maybe I'll try it out now, and who knows? Maybe I'll come back and I'll share with you the third level works as well. But I believe it's true, I just haven't experienced it. But the second level definitely works. When you say something enough times, you feel frustrated that you're not understanding more depth there, it becomes part of your inner world. And that's the goal. And that's the chiddush of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So please, everyone, we're going to daven Maariv now. Think to yourself for a moment before you start Maariv. Was there any point that we learned today in Musa Seder which you feel you would benefit from contemplating? Choose a point that you feel it was beneficial to me to contemplate this idea. And then, as part of Maariv, if it bothers you to do it in Maariv, then you can say to yourself straight after Maariv, I have a notebook, I'm going to write it down. It doesn't have to be. Some people, dafke in davening, it helps them. And some people in davening, it distracts them. Like, I'm going to have to think about this at the end of davening, it's going to distract me from having kavanah during davening. Some people are like that. If that's the case, that's fine. After davening, do it when you finish davening, after Aleinu Shabbat, then sit down with the notebook and do it then. But the goal of the Musa, at least today when we're learning this topic, is to think to yourself, I understood the concept intellectually. Now let me see where it applies to me and take it in. And we spoke about the four boxes, the four sections. Try and use tonight those four sections, those four areas. The four areas were, I understand it, and then I check where I'm holding in it. I understand the idea and I check where that's relevant to me. Both in the action part of it, and in my belief of it, my thoughts towards it, the philosophy.